Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio, where our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And we tend to keep ourselves focused on what happens here in the U.S. It tends to be what I know best. But, you know, abortion is happening worldwide. We reported recently on Family Research Council's Abortion Worldwide report that found 1 billion abortions in 100 countries over the last century, in a movement fueled by abortion becoming legal in the USSR in 1920. And as we think about that, one of the findings was that abortion is happening at the rate of about 12 million a year internationally, all around the world. That's a lower number than a figure you may have heard before. But this is our very best reporting at this point. And again, if you go to cradlemyheart.org, you can link to that Abortion Worldwide report, because we've got several posts up about that. But even as we think about that, what comes into your mind? Someone in a crisis pregnancy situation who either isn't married, or for some reason of pressing circumstance within a marriage, feels that abortion is an answer. But abortion is often happening as a result of coercion. And abortion is often happening as a result of rape. Joining us to talk about this is Dan Becker. And Dan is well known in pro-life circles because he has dedicated himself to ending abortion. He has been active in Republican politics since 1988. He was asked to serve on the political action director for Georgia Right to Life in 1999, was appointed president there in 2007, served for 6 years as a national board member of National Right to Life. He served on the board of advisors of Personhood USA. Few people know the personhood issue as well as Dan Becker. And Dan, you've written a book with that title, I do believe, as well, haven't you?
Yes, indeed.
Personhood, A Pragmatic Guide to Pro-Life Victory in the 21st Century. And that's just one of the things that he has authored. Dan Becker, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Kim, I'm delighted to be able to be on a radio show with a fellow Georgian that's doing such outstanding work. Thank you.
And I saw a Facebook post about what's happening with the girls who were released from being kidnapped from captivity in Boko Haram. And I want you to give us that story because I had not seen the story anywhere else, and the outreach that's happening is very, very encouraging.
Well, you know, it's a direct result of our involvement at an international level in the issue of personhood. Personhood is nothing more than the Imago Dei doctrine of the sanctity of life applied to public policy. It's the right to have rights. The most basic right is the right to life. And so we've lumped it all together under one category called personhood, and it's now being embraced as a new paradigm worldwide among a number of countries and pro-life groups here in the States. That emphasis led to a call out of the blue from Dr. Ikenna Osakwe, a Fulbright scholar from Nigeria, who's an immunologist currently working with Emory University in conjunction with the CDC. And she's an expert in her field, HIV transmission. And it will be returning from her Fulbright study regimen back to Nigeria in June. And she noted that the Lord had put on her heart a certain circumstance that was occurring in her home country of Nigeria. And just a little bit of background on Nigeria. It's the largest African nation in the subcontinent of Africa by population, 180-something million people there, almost evenly divided between Christians and Islam, Christianity and Islam, very, very closely, within a fraction of a percentage point. So a deeply divided country religiously, but one that is also experiencing insurgency by the radical Islamic terror group known as Boko Haram. This Boko Haram terrorist group goes into villages, kidnaps girls between the ages of 11 and 15, and marries them off to their boy or teenage boy, young man, soldiers, fighters. We've seen the horrific stories coming out of Africa of child soldiers and so forth. This is that group, and they have been responsible for mass kidnappings. Probably the most recognizable was the Chibok Secondary School, mostly made up of Christian girls, 276 of which were kidnapped, and 219 of them have not been seen since.
And so this happened, the kidnapping happened, what, I think in 2014?
Yes, yeah, just several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been...
There was a hashtag, it was Save Our Girls. It was in the headlines for a half a minute.
It
right?
was. And, you know, these are girls attending largely Christian, from Christian families in southern Nigeria that were kidnapped and taken north. Maybe 50 or 60 of them have escaped that captivity and have come back with horrific stories of intentional rape and sexual slavery of the most heinous sort. And here's the problem that Dr. Osakwe brought to Georgia Right to Life and to Personhood Alliance, the organization that came out of Georgia Right to Life and the work we've done here in Georgia politically, and that is to represent those classes of human life that are denigrated based on their manner of conception. Now, in Nigeria, if a child is the product of rape, neither the Muslim family, and in many cases, or the Christian family, will receive their kidnapped child back home with open arms because they've been shamed, they've been tainted. And as a result of this demon spawn that is represented by the child that was born as a result of this rape
and this
or
is,
sexual slavery.
Let's pause for a moment, too, and think about that, because demon spawn in a country that's, you know, at least 50% Christian is it's an idea that sounds more like voodoo. I mean, there's no such thing in the Christian worldview as demon spawn, is there, Dan?
Well, there unfortunately is. Sean Hannity, on his very well-respected Fox News program, called the product children who are the products of rape in the abortion issue expendable because they're demon spawn. That was his term that he used on air to represent the same exact problem that we have in America that they're having in Nigeria, and that is to determine the worth of an individual based on their manner of conception. We have, in most of our pro-life law, an acceptable exception for rape and incest.
So you're saying the body of Christ, even here, has a functional belief in demon spawn, even though this is completely outside of Christian doctrine, right?
That is exactly what we're saying.
Wow.
Of course, it's been no surprise that the pro-life movement has been divided on this one issue for around 40 years. It's created a deep divide within the movement. Those who are Christian and believe in the absolute command of God, that it is absolute, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. And that means that in Deuteronomy 24:16, where God's law is expressed, you shall not put a child to death for the crimes of its father. And certainly everybody would admit that theologically and legally, the product of rape, a child, is the innocent victim. So is the woman. She's the victim of a heinous crime. But the child is certainly innocent. And right now, under current pro-life law, all over the nation, we are putting to death children, condemning them to death based on their manner of conception. Well, and it seems to be acceptable.
And I hope everyone listening is taking this to heart. Dan, it took me a long time to say no exceptions for rape and incest. It took me a really long time, and I'm to my shame, and also to my ignorance and lack of teaching, you know, lack of hearing a prophetic voice on this. So if you're listening and this is new information for you, please keep your heart and your mind open. Listen to what Dan has told you from God's word. And I think that, you know, Dan, for me, it wasn't that I thought the children were demon spawn. It was an overdeveloped sense of sympathy for the woman. You know, that she was forced, she didn't have, you know, consensual sex, and so she shouldn't, and that's the line of reasoning that I see rather than, you know, the children are. But I will say that in my mindset, I had an underdeveloped sympathy for those children, so I might as well have been regarding them as demon spawn. And I don't know if that is a fair characterization of where you think the pro-life movement is or those who would support these exceptions for rape and incest.
Well, you know, there's a young woman by the name of Rebecca Kiesling.
Yeah, I know Rebecca. We've interviewed her, yes.
Yeah, Rebecca was conceived by a serial rapist. Her mother tried to abort her in the state of Michigan, except that Michigan had, at the time, the only state in the nation that would not allow abortion for rape. And so Rebecca's life was spared, even though her mother tried to abort her illegally twice in the state of Michigan. She now currently has 5 children of her own, lovely family. What a heritage. But there was nothing in Rebecca's experience that would cause her to receive the death penalty for the crime of her father, her biological father.
Oh, it's such a beautiful story. And she and her mother have reconciled, her birth mother. And the thing that so struck me about Rebecca that I will never forget is she said, I was not born because I was wanted. I was born because I was protected under the law.
That's right. And Georgia and Michigan became the first 2 states to outlaw abortion for rape and incest. We're the only 2 states in the nation with no rape and incest exceptions in any of our multitude of pro-life protections and laws in the country. So this is something that can be done. The question is, and we really need to answer it, should it be done? And we were contacted by Dr. Osakwe, because we were that group standing internationally for the sanctity of life of all these precious children that were conceived in these horrendous circumstances that not only is the Muslim faith rejecting, but our own Christian faith is rejecting in Nigeria.
And please hear this as you're listening to this story, that in order to be able to accomplish protecting these children, this means nurturing their mothers.
It does, and that means setting up a group home with a loving couple with their own children involved and placing these young women and their children into a loving family, taking the solitary and placing them in families. Much as you see in pregnancy resource center counseling and crisis pregnancy management today, I got involved in the pro-life movement. The first act that I did was not in front of an abortion clinic. It was taking in a young woman into my home that was in a crisis pregnancy and had been kicked out of her home. So these are the type of things that we've been asked to go to Nigeria and to train, educate, preach to the Christian church there the obligation to be Jesus's hands and feet and ministering to these, the least wanted in that entire nation. And it's such a privilege to be able to be on the foundational forefront with someone so well respected, a Fulbright scholar from Nigeria, and one that has a heart for God's word and his ways, and really wants to see this happen.
It's beautiful, and it's such a great story that brings to light so many things, including the need for an apologetic in the case of rape and incest. You've started us on the path by saying God's word says, thou shalt not kill, or don't shed innocent blood, don't murder, and also that the children are not to be punished for the sins of the father. Help us out so where we can have these conversations when the culture pushes back. I mean, Dan, I've even heard arguments, counter-arguments, where people will say, well, you know, if you do that, the rapist is going to come back and claim parental rights.
In Georgia, we severed those rights.
Okay,
it's a simple matter of protection in the law.
Right, and so give us the apologetic to where we know, where we can be confident that we are representing a godly worldview, yes, but one that makes sense in the marketplace of ideas right now in the U.S. And for me, you know, just having the basic pro-life apologetic, which is that life begins at conception, and either human rights come equally or they don't exist at all. And so if we become human beings at conception, abortion's a matter of social justice, right? And that should apply in the cases of rape and incest, but people will come with all sorts of objections. So help us refine that pro-life apologetic for these cases.
The difference, and I've been at national leadership level, I know all of the national leaders of nearly all the national groups. There is a basic difference of opinion over the foundation for the organization. And by that I mean, are we a faith-based Christian organization based upon the tenets of God's word, or are we a pluralistic, natural law, positive law, broad-based coalition of efforts that the word of God has no authority over? That is the divide in the pro-life movement right now. And I will remind everybody that for 2,000 years, the Christian church has been the forefront of orphanages, overnight hospital care, hospitals, schools, universities. This has come as a direct result of the high view of the image of God in man, that doctrine of Imago Dei. If that's not our foundation, then we are open to the most pragmatic, prudential argument in a political, pragmatic sense, and a false philosophy of utilitarianism. And that is the greatest good for the greatest number. It was intended back in the 1800s by Jeremy Bentham, the founder of utilitarianism, as a secular humanist, to replace God's moral commandments.
I want to stop for 1 second and refine this this one notion that you just gave us, because I think this is a sticking point for a lot of people when you say utilitarianism. What happens, how this plays out in people's minds is, okay, well, it is a human being and it is a person, but she has more of a right to her life because she's older, grown, or I can see her. This is utilitarianism, right?
More equity in her life than the equity of the child. We can save more numbers. We can save more babies if you will allow us to kill some. In other words, our goal is to kill fewer numbers rather than to end the killing entirely, to condemn it as murder for what it is. We've somehow lost the heinousness of abortion being the death of an innocent child, and what that means to our culture, our psyche, and our politics.
So you were going to tell us about the roots of utilitarianism before I interrupted, and I want to give you a chance to get back to that, because this is really valuable for us to know.
Secular humanism is an affront to the authority of God and his word. And it was secular humanists in the 1800s that launched a replacement morality for the Bible. And that is what has been embraced by the majority of politicians, pro-life politicians, and pro-life groups nationally today. And they will defend that, saying we're after the greatest good for the greatest number. Anybody can Google that and come up with the same thing that we have, its origins and whatnot. This has been one of the worst mottos ever foisted on the human race, according to various and sundry Christian philosophers, because it led to the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. The greatest good for the greatest number was the policy behind the killing of useless eaters, which is where it all began, long before the Nazis came to power. So ideas have consequences. And this whole idea of how we treat the most vulnerable in our midst on the basis of a Christian biblical worldview is what the entire divide is currently in the pro-life movement today.
Dan Becker is our guest. And Dan, what's the best website? Because I know you're involved in many, many different activities and areas, but what is the very best website for people to find you and find the work where you would direct them today?
That would be personhood.org.
And we'll have that. Go ahead.
Personhood Alliance is the name of the organization. It's currently the pro-life paradigm that is being followed in Israel, in Netherlands, in South Africa, and a host of other countries that have decided to reform themselves after a Christian biblical worldview as opposed to a secularist.
Okay, so personhood.org, and we'll have it linked at cradlemyheart.org if you want to know more about Dan's activities and learn more about his thoughts on how best to uphold the image of God in the youngest members of the human family. So, Dan, as we're thinking about this, I want to give you a chance to talk about something that I've tried to take this on in various online forums and communities and settings. But there's this idea, which, of course, your activities with the girls in Africa is puts this to the lie. But people will say, you're just pro-birth. You're not pro-life. You can't call yourself
yes.
pro-life. You're not doing anything for the children once they're born. And, of course, that's an argument for government programs. Instead of, you know, family being responsible and upholding families. I mean, it's a worldview claim, I think. So how do you answer this when people will make that charge to you that you're more concerned with a fetus than a woman in her circumstances and being able to have a good life?
We're releasing a book in the end of April entitled Personhood, A Tree of Life. It's a compendium of essays by personhood leaders around the nation and around the world. And in it, one of the articles is answering that charge specifically, that it's the straw man charge, that you're only interested in birth. Well, Morning Center, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Morning Center concept out of Memphis, but that is led by our Personhood Mississippi coordinator, Les Riley. And in it, they take a holistic view. They do the same thing Planned Parenthood does, except that they provide free birth and delivery through their medical connections and facilities, and afterbirth care of placing these women into stable families and homes. It is a holistic approach to the sanctity of life, not just pro-life for the fetus, but ministering to the needs of the entire family, men and women.
Which is awesome and has always been going on within the pro-life movement, within the pregnancy help centers. I think it's important to say, too, that the pro-life movement, there's a bit of a logical flaw there. Like you say, it's a straw man argument, because that's like telling the Cancer Society, well, if you're not trying to cure heart disease, you're not in favor of the health of the people you're dealing with, right? I mean,
the image of God in man must be protected, and it's the church that takes the lead, must take the lead, has taken, and will take, in order to effectually change the culture. And we don't need to make apologies about that. So when we only talk about pro-life being anti-abortion, and we only focus on the babies, we're doing ourselves a disservice, because that's not the biblical scope of the sanctity of life and human dignity, beginning in Genesis 1, 26 and 27.
And Dan, if people want to, I'm sorry that we're out of time because I could talk all day, but if people want to help with the initiative to help the girls coming out of the Boko Haram captivity.
Personhood Alliance, and earmark the donation for the Boko Haram ministry.
Awesome. Thank you so much for bringing it to our awareness and for sharing your heart on the issue today. Dan Becker, thanks for being with us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kim.
Stay with us coming up on Faith Radio. Your calls, 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad to have you with us, and thank you for being part of our live broadcast tonight. Our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. You can also connect on Twitter at Kim Cotola, K-E-T-O-L-A. At Kim Cotola on Twitter, and our Facebook handle is at Cradle My Heart. Check in on social media. Someone suggested that last week and said, look, why don't we, you give people a chance to win your pro-life resource on social media. So absolutely. We try to put up a post on Facebook, by the way, of what the resource is going to be, and give you a chance to sign up ahead of time and win that way in a drawing after the broadcast. We'll put it in a drawing with live callers and make it as easy as we can for you to win. So here's your opportunity right now at 1-800-811-3003. And tonight's resource is You Carried Me by Melissa Oden. That was a very, very impactful interview, and many of you know Melissa's story. She survived an attempted abortion, a saline procedure that took over 5 days for her to be born, and the procedure generally results in a stillbirth, but Melissa lived. Unbeknown to her mother, a nurse allowed her to live and helped her find an adoptive family, and Melissa didn't know that about her background until she was 14 years old. So she tells her memoir, in her memoir, she tells the story of meeting her birth mother. And it's very dramatic, and it's a huge illustration of the value of every single life. So if you'd like to win a copy of You Carried Me by Melissa Oden, call us, 1-800-811-3003. I would like to know, as our discussion point tonight for the live portion of the broadcast, I would like to know what you think about abortion after rape. It took me a very long time. If you listen to our interview with Dan Becker from Personhood Alliance, it took me a long time to come to my opinion on it. But I lacked a strong apologetic. I lacked teaching. I listened to our culture's counterfeit compassion for women who have been raped, because while, of course, they deserve every bit of compassion, all of our support, all of our care, that cannot wear the face of killing the children. And it took me a very long time to come to that, an overemphasis on the pain that the woman has endured, and an underemphasis on the innocence and true humanity of the child from conception forward. Circumstances of conception don't change who we are, what we are as human beings, and the fact that we have equal value by virtue of our human nature. You know, we've talked about how differences in size and level of development, environment, and degree of dependency don't determine our worth. Well, neither does the circumstance of our conception. And 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. What was very surprising to me this week is we posted the fact that we were going to be interviewing Dan Becker about this very important story about, you know, the condition of the girls who were released in October by Boko Haram. Only 21 of the over 270 who were taken from their dormitory in Chibok in northern Nigeria. And we got a lot of traffic on the blog post about it and on the Facebook post about it. People expressing their dismay for the further wounding of girls who have been raped, who are being treated by their families as if they can't come home because of the shame of the rape and pregnancy. And these girls are very vulnerable to abortion. So Personhood Alliance is reaching out to help them avoid that, to value their children and to help them and give them real support. And everyone who commented was universally in favor of saving these children from abortion. That has not happened on anything in our social media. You know, I check in with you each week on, well, how's that going? How are people responding? And I've been shocked at some of the things that cause controversy in social media. Absolutely shocked. Things that seem very benign or seem things that seem extremely positive, things that seem 100% godly, some people will still object to. But this one, no one said these women need the option of abortion. So are we there? I mean, are you at a point where you will say, no, we do not abort children because of the crimes of rape and incest? Tell me your thinking on this and if it's changed and evolved over time. 1-800-811-3003. To me, it doesn't seem as though there's a universal agreement in terms of the way this is being discussed when we talk about protections under the law. I mean, you heard from Dan Becker, there are only a handful of states that say no exception for rape and incest. And boy, as soon as you say that, you're branded as extremist. You're branded as insensitive to women. You're a forced birther, right? You're a forced... Oh, I mean, the rhetoric is almost as, it's just difficult, very difficult rhetoric. So the universal reaction to this particular post very much surprised me, and I would love to hear your thoughts about abortion after rape. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Katola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. And, I really very much enjoy engaging with people on Facebook. And if you are not on Facebook and you didn't get a chance to see the post, you can subscribe directly to our blog so you wouldn't have to check in with social media. Just go to cradlemyheart.org and, right in the upper right hand corner, you'll see a way to provide your email, and then you'll get a weekly update from us as to what we're discussing. But some of the comments that showed up on the Facebook feed, people saying, I've been praying for these girls every morning since they were kidnapped. Well, our headline, by the way, said, pregnant by Boko Haram, they can't go home again. These girls, aged 11 to 16, once pregnant by their captors, are at times abandoned or escape. And because of the shame of their captivity, their parents will at times refuse to allow them to return home. That's not the whole story. The New York Times had a piece on Friday about how the government has been holding the girls because they're now at a greater risk for being re-kidnapped because of the notoriety of the Bring Back Our Girls social media campaign. They have become very valuable trophies for the terrorists of Boko Haram. an unintended consequence of people trying to secure their rescue. And the reality here is that, you know, hundreds have been rescued, not necessarily the Shabak schoolgirls. As I said, 21 of those have been returned. But Boko Haram has forced hundreds of thousands of people from their homes in Nigeria, and thousands of people have been murdered by Boko Haram. So it's a very big story. But again, on our Facebook page, people said, I've been praying for these girls. Someone said, heal the people who are rejecting these women after suffering such terrible abuse. Another commenter, Beverly, said, this is so sad. The way these men treat women and young girls is disgusting. And then someone else said, thank you, Lord, for providing a home for these girls. God's blessings. She's referring to the effort that Personhood Alliance is making. Okay, someone said, women need to get on this. You know, the repressed women of the U.S. This is real repression. Now, you know, I don't know. That's maybe a little bit off topic. But again, you know, what she's saying is, I support helping these girls not be subject to abortion. Many, many people said, so sad and sorry for them. These poor girls definitely need our prayers. I will pray for you as you help them. God be with you. Praying for these precious children of God's. Please pray for these girls and family. Please send these girls to us as refugees. And this one that said, and those parents don't want their grandchildren. And again, I'm thinking, wow, is this because of the kidnapping in addition to the rape? Because I don't hear that outpouring when we hear stories of rape that result in a pregnancy here in the U.S., whether it would be a date rape situation or whether it would be a horrible, you know, stranger, very violent circumstance. I don't hear that compassion for those circumstances here. Do you agree? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. Our pro-life resource tonight is Melissa Oden's book, You Carried Me. And we'll have a copy for you if you will join us with a question or comment. And I would love to hear your thoughts about rape, but maybe you want to say that you heard Melissa's story. We had that posted as our podcast spotlight. We always do that at cradlemyheart.org. If you can't catch our interviews as we play them on Sunday nights, you can always go to the website and link there and listen as your time permits. But someone was helping me out at the grocery store this week and said, you know, well, anything adventurous happened to you today? And I said, well, you know, I interviewed Dan Becker of Personhood Alliance, and he's helping the Boko Haram girls. You know, some of them were raped and are pregnant, and they're vulnerable to abortion now. And I said, I don't know if you're a person of faith or how you feel about that. And he was a young man. He looked like he was about 20, either side of 20. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, well, those are human beings. I'm not in favor of abortion. I thought, outstanding. Someone who has been discipled with a compassionate worldview. And of course, you know, we have to support and love the women, and we have to bring perpetrators to justice. But we can't do any of that by aborting the children. The aborting the children doesn't accomplish either of those necessary tasks that we as a culture owe to women who have been victimized by rape or incest, for that matter. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. And I think it's interesting how the extreme nature of this case brings it all into very sharp focus. 1-800-811-3003. Would love to hear from you tonight. My name is Kim Katola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. Our phones are open. Call us now.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
So glad that you are with us tonight. Phones are open, 1-800-811-3003. We'd love to hear your voice and how you feel about rape and whether or not there should be exceptions in the law for women who have been victims of rape or incest. And if you have a strong view on it, has it changed over time? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And, you know, I need to be really careful as we do this to say that I'm speaking from a place of being healed of an abortion in my past, which allows me to speak publicly and which actually it's very healing to defend children after abortion. It's very healing to have that zeal that godly sorrow produces in us, as 2 Corinthians says it will. That godly sorrow makes us want to make a difference, makes us want to do something very, very different than what we did in leading to that sorrow. And I pray that you would get a perspective of godly sorrow if you've been affected by abortion personally, that you would not go down that path of worldly sorrow, which, again, God's word says leads to death. That worldly sorrow is full of self-condemnation and endless guilt or denial and numbing out. And, you know, it's really, it's a dead end. That is a dead end emotionally. Godly sorrow leads us to repentance and is not to be regretted. It leads us into the arms of Jesus, where we find mercy and forgiveness and love. 1-800-811-3003. And let's go to the phones and welcome Kathy to Cradle My Heart Radio. Hi, Kathy. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Kim.
Good. Well, what's going on?
Well, I would definitely like a copy of the book You Carried Me, but I also wanted to do a plug for something I heard about that's going on in the Twin Cities or in Minnesota next weekend. It's called Freedom Weekend. And it's all about what we can do to end human trafficking.
Mm, okay. All right. So
the website, if people want to get more information about it, it's March 17th through the 19th. So it's next weekend. The website is traffickingjustice.com.
And do you know the sponsoring organization?
There's a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
Too many to mention, but there's tons of events going around in the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
You know, and more here's
organizations working together.
It's awesome that trafficking is coming into focus because so many people aren't aware of it. And you know, just as with these girls who were victimized, because many were forced into rape, many were forced into you know, prostitution of a confined kind in their confinement. Abortion is a huge part of trafficking, and it's how they keep the women in play, if you will. So, Kathy, hold on, and we'll thank you for that. Hold on, and we will get your address off the air so we can send you a copy of You Carried Me. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for your program, Kim.
Glad you're listening. Let's say hi next to Todd, who's listening also in Minneapolis. Hi, Todd. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you. Hi.
So, did you change your mind about rape after, or abortion after rape?
Yeah, I did. From the whole other side of the fence, where I used to think abortion was, like I said, it's a woman's right versus the fact that it's a child. And, you know, the last holdout probably was the rape issue. But even there, like you said, it's still a child. I think the important thing will be that for rape victims, that they get plenty of counseling so that they're not passing along anger to the baby that they're carrying. So that's, you know, would be the part that I would hope would be able to get solved and hopefully help them to realize what a blessing this child is.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, and so what actually tipped you? Was there a particular book or listening to a speaker or hearing a broadcast? Was there something you could pinpoint?
Listening to Faith Radio, you know, listening to Ravi Zacharias, listening to you, listening to a lot of the speakers that have been on it. Just, you know, reading the Bible, too, of course. but just kind of putting it all together, that constant good message that's being put out by Faith Radio and just the good learning that's happened. It's just, like you said, it's opened my heart to, you know, what's really going on there. We adopted our child, and he was, his birth mother was 15 at the time. And luckily she, from day one, she wanted to carry this child and have it adopted. But it's so scary how it could have turned out, had she not.
Mm, absolutely. So what do you say if someone says to you, well, you don't care about women? You know, if you would do that to a woman, you would force her to carry a rapist's baby. You just don't care about women. How does that work out in conversation, Todd, if it were to come up?
Well, I do care about women, but I also care about children. There's counseling available for the woman to help her with the issue. But there's nothing available for the child once it's aborted. You know, so I guess that, you know, we can help the rape victim and we can help the child, but we need to have both of them.
That's excellent, because it really what you've outlined there is justice for both. You know, because when there's been a grave injustice, that needs to be, you know, our primary concern, because it's very healing if you've been a victim to receive justice. That's, you know,
right. That
can be very healing. So thank you for that. Todd, we only had one copy of Melissa Oden's book, but I'd like to send you a copy of Why Pro-Life by Randy Alcorn, if you'll stay on the line and give us your address off the air.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that little book was very helpful in me being able to refine my position, because Randy Alcorn makes some very practical arguments, you know, pointing out that there's no other crime for which we kill a second victim, in which we execute a second victim. That alone was very, very persuasive to me. So thank you, Todd, so much for sharing your story, too, of how adoption has been a blessing in your life. So hold on, and we'll get you a copy of Why Pro-Life by Randy Alcorn. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and I really appreciate being able to hear what's on the heart of you, the listener, and the platform that Faith Radio provides for us. One of the things that we've been doing here at Cradle My Heart Radio is sharing blog posts every week, a couple of them that you may not be aware of. I join Faith Radio Mornings on Thursdays to talk about the top pro-life stories in the news and do some commentary and some discussion on that based on a little compilation we put together called Five Fast Facts on pro-life news, because, you know, the issues are so big. How can we possibly digest it all? And there's so much happening with a new administration in place in Washington. So I do the research for you, and I find the stories, and then we put together a biblical worldview on the pro-life stories in the news. So that happens on Faith Radio on Thursday mornings at 6:40. We always try to put up the audio at cradlemyheart.org as well. And I'm also doing a blog post for them, going more in-depth with a particular story. And one that we've been following is the Mexico City policy with funding for international abortions. Now, you probably heard that was one of the very first executive orders President Trump signed when he got into office, and it has always gone back and forth along bipartisan lines, with Republicans saying no federal money from the U.S. to foreign governments and to non-profit organizations that promote abortion. And then whenever a Democrat is in power, the policy gets reinstated, and it goes back and forth. Well, when President Trump signed the executive order, world leaders from all around the globe, starting in, I think, the Netherlands, stepped up and said that they were going to pledge their dollars so that abortion could continue around the world. Now, no one puts it that baldly, but I urge you to go and look for that story on the Faith Radio website, and also at cradlemyheart.org, and you'll find it linked there. Because this is, you know, Justin Trudeau just pledged $650 million. He was going to cover the shortfall from Canadian taxpayer funding. And it's an important story that we need to know more about, and we need to know where we stand on it. We need to stand on principle, because all of the complexities suddenly come into focus when we stand on principle, and when we have our faith and science and reason and philosophy all lined up in defense of protecting the innocent children before their births. And women, yes, need maternal care and support, and may need, you know, U.S. dollars in the developing world. And I'm all in favor of that. Maternal care, that's what women need, not abortion. So again, go to cradlemyheart.org, because we're also posting our new daily feature, Cradle My Heart Today, where you can listen to one person's story for encouragement about what happened after an unintended pregnancy, or in finding redemption after the choice for abortion. That's my story, and I pray that if you have been impacted by abortion in any way personally, that you'll reach out and find your healing today. CradleMyHeart.org, I hope, would be a good place for you to begin. Thanks so much for making us a part of your weekend. We're praying for you, and we're so glad that you're here. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Have a great night. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.